short stories, Harry Chapin on Siren Radio, or two of the bits and pieces there, including the challenge that you're faced with when your contributor from Derbyshire is walking the dog. No, it's not for you, not a euphemism. She did actually send me an email saying, the signal has gone and the call is constantly cutting, tempted to ring back. But Kira Olsbrook, you're back with us. How are you?
Hello, I'm really sorry about that. I'm fine, thank you. How are you?
Well, we're okay, Kira. I mean, I did a bit of build-up to George Ezra and Budapest, etc., wondering whether you'd identify it, but clearly that had sort of slipped by. But we do have a musician in the studio who's doing actually journalism and public relations programme, whereas, of course, you quite rightly signed up for the communications and public relations single honours, which is wonderful. Yeah. Kira is going to be joining just Barnaby as you're leaving.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, that's true.
But worry not, because Kira is ace broadcaster with, I keep saying Derbyshire Radio. It's not. It's Radio Erwood. Radio. What's the radio station?
It's Erwash Radio. I even forgot for a minute.
Erwash. Is that comes out of West Country?
Erwash Sound.
Erwash Sound. Exactly.
Well, there we go.
Yeah, this is it. Once you've been on Siren Radio, all other radio stations, you just forget instantly.
That's
right. Radio 1, that Radio 2, Erwash Sound. I've promoted them again. It does sound very much as though it's a West Country Bristol station. It should be. So Erwash Sound. Get off my airwaves.
Sound, yeah.
Well, you could use that as a sort of slogan, perhaps. Maybe we'll run it past the management team when you're next there. Get off my airwaves. It's kind of reverse psychology for putting people together. Anyway, Barney is a musician and singer-songwriter of no mean skill set, Kira. As ever, when Barney's joining us in the studio, we're delighted to feature some of the music he's put together. Now, Kira, would you like to know how Barney effectively has composed these materials, literally with the aid of his mobile phone when he was a level one first year student? So you can also get a sense in terms of what things are going on. We also need to actually ask Barney to open the door so Tessa Snart can actually be allowed into the whole system. She'll have to just listen from the outside, etc. But, you know, allowing for that, we'll find out a bit more about sort of Barney's... Actually, you can't do both, can you? Tell you what, you talk to Kira. I'm going to have total trust in you now.
Oh, wow.
If you want to explain to Kira what's going on there, and I will actually open the door so that Tessa can actually enter the studio. So
that's fantastic.
So I know, it's going to be a risk. Well, you've got complete faith. So
radio skills coming into play here.
Precisely, yeah. Precisely. In fact, we'll just sort of think through. Please explain to Kira how you got involved with this in the first place.
Hi, Kira.
Hi.
Basically, what I did was, as Alex rightly says, when I was just 18 years old, a young man entering the world of uni, you know, I've always had a love for music, and I thought I wanted to record an album with some songs that I had just kind of made up in my spare time, and I decided to do it entirely on my iPhone 5S. Now, do you remember how small many generations ago now?
Yes. They were really tiny and compact. I used to have one, and they were so easy to break as well. No
they
offense.
They were, weren't they? Yeah. So you can appreciate how fiddly it was. And I spent the year doing it, and now all of the songs are set free in the music sphere.
And I bet you'd like to hear one as well, wouldn't you, Kira?
Yes, absolutely.
See, that's what we call positivity. You know, that's why we felt Kira's in the right sort of place to actually do a sort of pre-siren stuff so she can effortlessly slip into the midweek drivette shoes when even Tessa Snart will be graduating in the fullness of time. How are you, Tessa?
I'm very well, thank you. How are you?
Well, it's been an extraordinary show. You missed our computer programming finance people. You know, they sort of passed left us by. I mean, Barney has kind of done double duty with Sound and Nick's Vision early today and a whole heap of others. Tessa, which Barnaby Packer song would you suggest, apart from Gone, which we featured in the first part of the programme, would you suggest that we should actually provide Kira Olsbrook with so she can cast her critical Derbyshire ear over this next little piece?
Okay, well, On Your Own, I think. I've heard from Bird that's good. It's a little birdie.
Would that be the live version of On Your Own or the recorded On Your Own? Are there two versions or is it both the same?
Oh, wow. We'll go for the original recorded studio version.
The recorded version. Because, of course, you're never on your own when you're walking a dog. By the way, what breed is the dog, Kira?
A Labrador.
And what is your Labrador called, please?
Believe it or not, it's quite funny, actually. His name is Vicky.
His name is Vicky. It's like a book,
Vicky.
Isn't it? Oh, Ricky. Ricky. Did you say
Ricky?
Nikki.
No, Zippy.
Vicky.
Zippy.
Yeah, I think
this is phonetically challenging,
it's
isn't
very
it?
Challenging.
Is that
it sounds like Vicky, but
No, do you know from Rainbow?
Oh, Zippy.
Zippy.
Yeah.
Right. Just imagine how much fun our seminars are going to be when I actually spend so much time sort of saying, I'm sorry, Ricky, Vicky. No, it's Zippy. Right, well, Zippy. Curious, and Barney the Dinosaur ties into so many ways. Zippy, because we are a canine-friendly station, this is for you.
Settle down. You're walking around like you own the place. Take it easy, just take it easy. The days are over. Simmer down. Are you talking to me? Trying to give me advice? I'll give some back. It's a short life, so don't try living days that have passed. You're on your own. What do you say to a man who won't change his mind? It's just getting harder, the weight of the world. We've all felt it on us, so stop singing your sorrows. It's a life to live, but not a routine to die. Come up from your knees and scream into the sky. You're on your own. Gave the worst and it's shown. It's not ever good enough. Be on your way. Your friends have no time in the day to take a failed man. And now it feels too late to say you're sorry, because the early days they're written in. And if they could see how you've changed, how you knew that your days were wasted. Say the words, just try and give them your love. It's all they ever want. And live your life. Because in time it won't matter for much. Because time doesn't matter when you're gone. When you're gone. Such a waste, but to you it feels so fresh. The summer leaves are crispy and the nights are falling short, but to you it feels so fresh. The summer leaves are crispy and the nights are falling short.
Summer leaves are crispy and the nights are falling short. Well, they are in New Zealand and Australia. Tessa,
yes.
You say we like that?
Did I like it? Yes, I did. I thought it was absolutely brilliant.
But let's face it, Tessa's not.
I'm quite a fan after I've interviewed him now.
Our words don't matter a hill of beans in this particular world, because ultimately the whole career for Barney Packer is going to be determined by Kira Allsbrook, who has basically, she has the power now to actually say, is it thumbs up, is it thumbs down? Kira Allsbrook, what did you make of Barney Packer's little number.
That's that's such a horrible judgment to do.
Yes, but I know you can make it, Kira, so carry on. Go on.
No, I thought it was. Do you want me to give you an actual honest opinion? Or,
yes, yes.
We've never had one of them yet, I don't think. Everyone's just been too polite, yeah.
Please don't be offended at all. okay, but I genuinely thought, okay, it's not my taste of music. I'm not going to be biased or anything, but I thought it was quite good considering you did it all by yourself. I mean, I've got to admit that's a lot of guts and talent to do. But yeah, I thought it was quite a cool, funky tune, to be honest. It was quite good.
And coming from Derbyshire, that's high praise indeed. That's almost like an A+, really. They don't give praise to you. It was quite good, really, is the equivalent to 74%. It's great stuff.
She's converted to that music.
Yeah, I was going to say, I'll make a better one for Kira. And,
yeah, exactly. The time is there. It will happen. Who knows? She might sort of emerge in the studio before she actually comes in September.
Who knows?
Anyway, Kira, how is life going on with your own particular tale of BTEC studies and such like material that you're doing in Derby?
That's the literal overall response. College, I guess the BTEC is okay. I mean, it's really piled up at the minute with all the stress of assignments, and we're actually doing a radio package at the moment, and that went really well last week. And then obviously the week beforehand, I had the Beeston Film Festival, which I don't know if you've heard of, but it's basically local in the East Midlands. It's the biggest international film festival. I'm not particularly sure. I think it's in Britain. It might be, but it's a really good community. And I wrote the entire program for it, which took hours, literally.
Yeah, but you're Kira Allsbrook. You're a midweek drivette. I mean, these are the sort of things that midweek drivettes do, isn't it, Tessa?
Well, it is really.
You do your dissertation on one hand. You do your coordination. Yeah. It all maps into one sort of basis, really. Yeah. Well done. All going well. That's the important thing. And she was even walking her dog for the first phone link.
Okay. I was going to say, what was the radio package on? I don't think you said. What was it about?
It was basically, we had an hour. We've got an hour show to do for our final major project. And it can be on anything you want. So I was just being really, it was kind of cliche, but then I put my own twist on it and I just did it on entertainment. I actually know a local fashion designer who's in Instagram, and he does, he's been to New York Fashion Week, he's been to London, he's been to Paris, and I interviewed him, and I did about, you know, his take on fashion and community, because I always got a link to Nottingham, and then I interviewed John Curry, who was the creative director and international filmmaker for the festival, so it was a lot of stuff to do, but it was quite good. It was just all about, you know, the entertainment and the connections to Nottingham and stuff like that.
Yeah, it sounds interesting.
I think Brian should slot into Signet PR quite effectively, really. If you
yeah, know. Exactly.
Seamlessly, in fact. Yeah.
She'd have been good on to the journalism course doing radio.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's a whole new world.
Do both.
Tessa, would you like to put those last two questions to Kira Allsbrook, please?
Yes. Kira, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us today?
Did you find it quite good, really?
Yes, I have, despite the signal. Oh.
And will you be joining us again on the show soon?
Yes, of course, as long as my dog doesn't pull me over again.
How often people use that phrase? You come back to the show as long as my dog doesn't pull me over again.
It's like the chewing up the homework.
It's for not even worse than that, because physical injury could be adopted. Kira Allsbrook, take care. We'll speak to you in a fortnight. All being well. Take care now. Bye.
Reminds me.
Yes, the anthemic sound of Arcade Fire, Everything Now, on Siren Radio, and Everything Now sums up Sci-Fi London in a nutshell, doesn't it, Louis Savvy?
Good afternoon, everybody. Good afternoon, Alex.
Whoa, great to hear your dulcet tones once again when we have a 100% increase on the contributors that we had last week when it was just Tessa and myself in the studio. Tessa's still with us, still, I think, ruminating on the challenge you left her about getting involved with the 48-hour film challenge.
Don't look at me right now.
Tessa, I promise to leave you alone this week.
Thank you. It's okay. But I've kind of spread the word for you.
I'm promising for next time, though.
No. Okay.
It will happen. But we do
one
have,
day it will.
We do have premier musician and undergraduate reading journalism and public relations at the University of Lincoln. That's Barney Packer in the studio.
Good evening. Hi.
So let's talk Sci-Fi London, because we're coming round to that moment in May where these exciting things will be happening. And you promised us last week, Louis, I've got a teaser for yourself, which even Phil Linus, who, if he's listening in Los Angeles now, will find that the time is coming around to 20 minutes past 11 a.m., that's because they sprung forward before we sprung forward. And so next week, of course, we'll be back to 20 past 10.
When you speak to him, because we're not doing a radio link up between us currently, but just give him a nudge about The Truth Is Out There, Volume 2, because we're all anxious to know what's happening with that. I was kind of hoping it would be ready for the festival this year, but it doesn't look like it. So,
you know these directors, Louis. Sometimes they're so involved with the creativity of the arts that effectively they seek perfection, and they don't realise that their version of perfection is so far in advance of us poor mortals that we'd settle for a teeny bit less than perfection if it meant they could actually make the film festival.
Exactly. But there we go. Never mind. Good luck with it. I hope he gets it finished soon.
Well, exactly. I mean, of course, The Lady Killers is also out about and is doing well. And I am already looking at the joy of Sci-Fi of London. I'm pointing out the general line to Barney Packer of this awesome website. Now, Barney, I'm not sure whether even in the depths of Surrey you've been moved to actually see Sci-Fi London working in so many wonderful ways. The joys of science fiction, film, and London in like one magical system there, with the Mads from Mystery Science Theatre 3000. Look, 1st to the 7th of May, if you want to maintain your credibility on the planet, you will
be...
And the microphone. Never mind, Louis. Hopefully, if the microphone holds out, and we don't have to dial back to actually connect with your good self from the planet Fatang, what sort of things can we look forward to at this home of fantastic film in Sci-Fi London?
Is that me then?
Yes.
I can't give you too many teasers at the moment. We've just announced to the filmmakers who's in. So the programme is locked now. We've got 52 amazing short films, and there's 20 odd brand new features coming. We've got 3 or 4 world premieres in there. We've got a couple of really cool documentaries. We have our opening night film, which is a fabulous movie called Chimera, all about immortality, and it's about a scientist whose kids have got terminal illness, and he freezes them while they're still alive in the hope that he can find a cure and then bring them back. And it's very good, very good. And Henry Ian Cusick is in it, who was in Lost and in The 100. And we're hoping, he said he will come, we're just hoping he doesn't get another job in the next 6 weeks. so he'll be there, you know, subject to commitment, basically. So that'll be great for opening night. And we've also confirmed now our closing night, which is a British film called Division 19, which just won Best Director at the Boston Sci-Fi Film Festival with Garen Daly, my mate who runs that. Susie Howard, who's the director and writer, should be along as well on the night. It's a, again, really, really on the nail, you know, very sort of zeitgeisty film about reality TV shows. And in this particular, when they start using prisoners as reality TV, so instead of setting up a Big Brother and putting people in, they just put cameras everywhere in a prison. Yeah. And we all start watching what happens there. It's very gruesome and really very, very cool. What else can I say? One other one which I really want to, two in fact, that I really want to push to your listeners. One is a very, very smart documentary about a man called Arthur Raderberg, who was an illustrator in the 40s and 50s. And he had a column in the Chicago Tribune called Closer Than We Think. And it was just a little tiny, you know, bottom strip of the page. And it predicted electric cars, self-driving cars, video watching. I mean, it's about 40 things that he just sat there and went, oh, one day we'll probably have this. And he drew a little illustration of it and, you know, highlighted the features and all that sort of stuff. And he's been spot on with about 40 things. He also used to do all those amazing sort of futuristic motor car pictures, you know, like Sid Mead and Chris Foss and in that kind of style. And it's a fabulous director, and we've got the fabulous documentary. We've got the director coming for that. And then, if, I don't know if you're all excited for Ready Player One, which is out at the end of the month.
I think it's fair to say that we're pretty excited about Ready Player One. Tessa, are you excited about Ready Player One?
I'm going to say yes.
Yeah.
The '80s. Yeah. Well, me too. Me too. I loved the book. I thought that, I mean, it's not great literature, but I thought the book was just fabulous. It's a real page turner, and I think if you're of a certain age, you just kept going, oh, I remember that, and I remember this, and I remember that.
It's like the 80s come to life all over again.
Exactly. It'll be interesting to see what they've done with the film and what Spielberg did with it, because really, I think, like lots of good science fiction, what it is a warning, actually, about where we may go with all this stuff, because it's set in a world where, you know, there's lots of unemployed, there's even more poverty, and people spend their lives locked inside a virtual world. So they're just tuning out from the real world and existing in this sort of unreal paradise. And the book does really end with the... Spoiler, I guess it is. I won't tell you what happens, actually.
No, we'll hold fire on that. But it is awesome, and it's certainly all part and parcel of that policy that we adopt. Is it allegory? Is it metaphor? Is it, to use the Einstein quote, simply a case of a stubbornly persistent illusion that past, present and future are not simply occurring simultaneously?
So we have a very, very, very hardcore, quite violent, but very slick Russian movie called Censor, which we're having the UK premiere of, which is kind of an antidote to Ready Player One, because it really is about the potential horrors of ultra-real virtual reality systems. Because if you can imagine having, you know, everything digitized around you and having people scan that you know and digitize and put inside games, then if you're able inside that game to do anything you want, there's a big moral argument then about actually, did it really happen? And how does it change and alter your whole psyche? You know, if you can go in and kill someone in a virtual reality game, you know, does that give you then a taste for wanting to do it in real life or not? It's really very cool about these two guys who are censors for virtual reality. They have to go into the system and then think up the worst, most awful things they can come up with, so that the programmers can see how the game will interact with them and then try and censor that stuff and code it out. And obviously, complications arise when one of them gets very confused about what's the real world and what's not. It's a fabulous film. Very, very grown up, and certainly not suitable for children or for showing the trailer at work even. But it's a real good science fiction warning film. So yeah, lots of stuff to look forward to.
For a moment, he says, as he actually opens up his microphone to ensure that things come through. I was just thinking, we seem to have almost a blipvert, which seemed to be coming from Skype, and I thought, is Phil trying to reach us via Skype? If he's listening and he's connected, try again, Phil. I'll keep monitoring the system and maybe keep watching the skies. You will be able to connect via Skype. It may, of course, not have been Phil at all. But allowing for simultaneous things, tomorrow morning Emma Tinson is back on the programme, and I'm sure you would like to join me, Louis, in congratulating her in her current work as a weather and metropolitan sort of consideration. Well, she basically does all sorts of wonderful
things. She
does. Traffic, travel, weather, yeah. All sorts of things. But I know she owes it all to Sci-Fido. Yes, I'll say that once more.
Which is happening Saturday, the 5th of May, in the afternoon at Stratford Circus.
Yep. Tessa,
bring your dog.
Yes.
Sci-Fido, in previous years, you've looked at this, the world's only science fiction cosplay for dogs, although a cat has entered it in periods of time when I've actually seen it as well. Surely that has got to be, if anything, the absolute essential reason why you should be part of Sci-Fi London.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, that sold it for me, you see. And then the dog on the left... on that image, looks just like my dog at home.
Really?
Yeah, same colours, everything.
Oh,
looks like Ralphie.
Would Ralphie like to enter?
Maybe. I mean, he's quite the character, so.
But what do you think, Louis?
Right, there you are. If you can't do the 48, then you can do the dog show.
So. He's back, thanks to your canine friend. All you need to do is look at some of the costumes that these canines have been dressed up in times past.
See what he suits.
Exactly, and we will pull that up before this telephone call is actually finished. But I was fascinated to find that in the, what's it called, the number gram, Barney?
Infographic.
Yeah,
An infographic.
Yeah.
Nicely done. 3,586 exoplanets have been found since Sci-Fi London launched 18 English years ago.
That's a year old now, that infographic, and in fact we're about to update it this weekend.
So there are more than 5,860 spins of the Earth since the actual thing started. Amazing. Barney, any thoughts for Sci-Fi London from yourself?
I think it's amazing. I mean, I love that a cat has entered Sci-Fido. Could be a Sci-Feline, maybe in the future.
It is quite literally probably one of the most awesome telephonic links.
And Barney, I do have to tell you that the guy that brought that along, we said to him, "But that's a cat," and he said, "No, it's not. It's a dog with a superpower.
Change its shape." That is creative play, and I think it should be supported and rewarded.
Absolutely.
You should get a hashtag going on Instagram with
this. That would go crazy.
That would.
It is quite literally
a whole new range.
I need to ask one of these kids, though, how that works. I'll run that for you.
Tessa already creating the whole sort of sequence.
That's a bit too sci-fi for me. It's great.
But it is genuinely awesome. We had a little mini look at the Sci-Fido. Sci-Fido at the Irving Community Centre.
There's so many outfits.
if you're on Instagram, and we have an account, we are Sci-Fi London on Instagram. So you grab it that you like, favourite, and then put that on Instagram, and then we'll do whatever you do to those things. I'll go and ask my 14-year-old.
Definitely.
He's my social media advisor.
Yes. I'm going to follow you now if I don't already.
When we launched this, Louis, and I think we were going about the second or third year when we were talking about Sci-Fido, the 2017 dog display that was there, people laughed. You know, there we are, Louis, looking at sort of the world. They said it's never going to happen with respect to canines.
That's
brilliant. A Wonder Woman sort of outfit there, the whole sort of package that's around there. But we've taken those lines and have literally, you know, just knocked it into a whole cocked hat.
There. Oh, he looks happy.
Absolutely.
And I'm sure that it's what you're
for. I'm hoping for a dog with a Frankenstein look around them this year, because it's the 200th anniversary of the book, and we're celebrating that throughout the festival with lots of different bits of programming and things going on. because, you know, it's the most important science fiction, well, the most first proper science fiction book, in my opinion. I mean, like Gulliver's Travels had flying things in it, but this is the first proper one, and written by a 19-year-old woman 200 years ago. So, I mean, it's, you know, so, but it would be great if we had a dog turn up with a bolt through his neck, sprayed green, you know.
Well worth sorting through. And, of course, written by Mary Shelley, as you mentioned, who couldn't actually admit to actually being engaged in such an unseemly process as a young lady actually writing a novel. Writing a novel.
Exactly.
How outrageous.
Yeah.
Young ladies don't do things like that. Just step aside from that whole thing.
Exactly.
Hashtag 200 years later, Yabu sucks. There we are.
And in some areas we still haven't changed.
Oh, well.
It's a sad thing, so.
Louis, I feel choked beyond words in so many ways. Sci-Fi London, once again, the go-to place. You find it on Facebook, you find it on sci-fi-london.com, a whole heap of other goodies. And we just scratched the surface of these kind of awesome things that are actually there. So, Tessa, would you like to put those last two interrogatives to Louis? And I mean, Barney, I realised when you said, look, I just want to do like half an hour or so. whole sound and mixed vision earlier today.
So this is what happened last time.
Just a thought. But you have to go, you know, I'm sure Phil will understand. But anyway, Tessa, last two questions for Louis, please.
Louis, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
As I always do.
Oh, brilliant. Will you be joining us again on the show soon?
As soon as he tells me when.
Shall we go next week again, then?
Yeah, let's do that.
Yeah.
We'll have some trailers up online as well, and you'll be able to see the listing of what we've got coming.
And we should also have a couple of people who worked with Darren Scales on his movie as well. So, yes, as well. I know Darren. I've said to Darren, look, it's not personal, Darren. It's just your movie. Sometimes it's just a different... So we might have the return of Darren Scales and Louis Savvy in another awesome combination. It's great stuff. Louis, we salute you.
Thank you very much, sir. Thank you. Good night, everybody. See you, Barney. Bye, Tess.
Bye now.
of your own way. Yes, don't get engaged in those self-sabotaging beliefs.
For there's the kingdom of their own company. Blessed are the superstars. For the magnificence in their light, we understand better our own insignificance. Blessed are the filthy rich, for you can only truly own what you give away. Like your pain.
Give away that pain, Bono. Give away that pain. What do we do, Tessa, when we have Phil Leonis online present and literally, had he just pressed a few buttons, he could have been speaking to the awesome Louis Savvy. I mean, we don't even know if he actually is listening to Louis Savvy. Do we relay Louis' question to Phil about, get the finger out, Phil, get truthies out there too. I'd expected this year.
Maybe we should ask him if he was listening.
Do you think that's a good point? Yeah, all right. Phil Leonis, were you listening to the programme?
No.
Well, you see, there we are. See,
so you've got to relay. Yeah.
It's just as well,
you,
I kind of relayed that.
Gave him a bit of background. Yeah.
A bit of background.
What program? What program is that?
That's the Midweek Drive on Siren Radio.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I'll hear the question. No spoilers. I'll hear the question in the podcast version.
Oh, there we go.
Yeah, unbelievable.
And then I'll answer in my podcast, and then they'll tell two podcasts, and so on and so on and so on.
It's like recursive occlusion carried ad infinitum to the world beyond. As we said, let's look ahead to tomorrow. William Sitwell returns to the breakfast show again. Emma Tinson is back with us. Ian Lennox, Richard Fitzwilliams, Gabriella Peralta, and Alan Stevens. No Phil Leonis because it's 1 a.m. in the morning in California. Next week we go back to some kind of coordination. It's midnight in LA, because this weekend, in case you had forgotten, we spring forward and the clocks go forward in the British Isles. So we effectively move on to daylight saving time or summertime.
That's what it is. Yeah, summertime.
Greenwich Mean Time.
Everybody be careful. Can I issue this? I mean, more than ever before, I'm actually hearing very serious health reports about the effects of these springing forward. And it is a cause of great stress for people. That 1 hour change in your sleeping rhythms has a great effect. And in fact, here in the States, the day after the springing forward is the day with the most heart attacks each and every year. So this is a major health change, losing an hour of sleep. So everybody, for crying out loud, in fact, go to bed now. That's my thing. Just go to bed. Call in sick, do whatever you have to do, but I think now until the time change, just a hyperbaric chamber, nothing but sleep.
I've heard this. I don't know whether we discussed this before, but I've seen or heard this somewhere as well, that it's quite bad for your health, so.
We did talk about it last week.
Did we? That might be why.
That's okay.
I wasn't sure whether I read it somewhere.
Never mind Brexit, never mind walls on the southern border of the United States. This is what we should be protecting from. We should be removing ourselves from the totalitarian control of our body clocks. Who's with me?
I guess I agree. I mean, it is our health at the end of the day. They should be reporting this in the news. This should be a big story, if not already.
Exactly. It's all a cover-up. It's all a conspiracy. Yeah, it'll be part three of my Truth is Out There documentary that Louis Savvy will want me to finish soon, called The Truth is Out There and It Will Come In When It's Better Rested.
Yes.
That will be the name of that movie.
I can't wait for that, though. I loved the first one, so I did. I got to watch it, and it was really interesting. I was intrigued, literally, all the way through.
Bless you. You know, I know very little about you other than you have exceptional taste in movies. and you couldn't be more right.
No, it was brilliant. It had me on the edge of my seat, to be honest. It was really good. Oh, right.
Well, it's I am hard at work-ish.
Ish.
on the sequel, the plan was to have it fully edited by the end of February, the new one, and then... Some health concerns with my cat took me away from getting things done, and then the excellent news of securing worldwide or full North American distribution for my film, The Lady Killers, has required creating
certain elements so that the movie can come out as a priority. But that is good news for Truth Is Out There Part 2 when it's done, because when it is done, it will have the partnered support of a distribution company to give it greater visibility. So,
oh, that's good. Good things take time.
Has Alex left the building, or is Alex catching up on his sleep?
No, he is here. He's a good multitasker.
It's the longest he's ever gone without being on the microphone.
He's left the building. I'm the only one here now. Ah. No, he's case.
I just felt it was important to allow you guys time to actually connect and work through that process. As I've talked about this with the movie Arrival, which we're screening to some of our postgraduate students tomorrow. Time is just the illusion, that Einstein line, that the only persistent illusion that exists in our lives is the fact that past, present and future are somehow separate. We're not. Everything's happening simultaneously.
It's all a bit mind-boggling, isn't it?
We're not afraid of the mind-boggling.
Alex, I know you've talked to Trace Masterson before. Did you ever see the movie that she produced, Yesterday Was a Lie? Did you ever see that movie?
Do you know, I haven't, actually. I've heard of it, but I've never got round to watching the amazing Trace Masterson and her movie as well. And I'm not sure whether David J. Howe or Sam Stone have either. But, in fact, it's clear.
We need to rectify this. And I bring it up not as a horrible segue, but because it is based on this philosophic, scientific theory that time, as a linear concept, is entirely a construct of the left side of the human brain, that all of time exists simultaneously, and we are just interpreting it in an order that helps us make sense of the world. But indeed, in a quantum sense, there is no causality. There's simply correlational experiences. So past, present, and future are all going on at the same time. It's fascinating. It's a really, and that concept's explored in a beautiful, romantic, black and white film noir mystery.
Oh, that sounds really good. We'll have to check that one out, Alex, won't we, I think? we'll have to have a look.
We will be on the case, or in this case, on the chase.
Yeah.
If I could do nearly as good a job selling my own movies as I do selling other people's movies, then one of my films might be shown in the Culture Shapers series, Alex.
Oh,
you know, actually, we should look to that, and we will.
Greats. I do not, other than standing on the shoulders of the giants who make these films that you show, I do not belong in the same conversation with them.
But Phil, it's all to do with perception and how we actually sort of operate within that perception that ultimately sort of enables us to decide where we're going, who we are. And indeed, in Deep Space Nine's line, which presumably where Chase also got the perception of the whole system, are we experiencing time in a linear manner, or are we actually simply experiencing time as a non-linear species? Okay. Or as Chase herself might actually say...
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, and you're listening to the Midweek Drive on Siren FM and SouthsideBroadcasting.podbean.com.
See, we hadn't forgotten you, Chase. You're still there, still in the whole system from that point of view. In fact, do you think Phil would allow a second Chase Masterson reference to her pop culture charity to go through?
I think he would.
You better ask him, actually, before.
Phil,
I'm a
do you
big
mind?
Fan of this charity.
Okay,
yep.
Here
it
comes.
I'm a big fan of this charity.
Hi, this is Chase Masterson, founder of the Pop Culture Hero Coalition, the first ever organization to make a stand against bullying, racism, misogyny, LGBT bullying, cyberbullying, and other forms of hate using pop culture stories that we love. We all love superheroes. Why not be one? Check out our website at www.popcultureherocoalition.org. Follow us on Facebook at Pop Culture Hero Coalition and on Twitter at superhero IRL. Thanks so much.
I see. More than take as well.
Kind of proud of herself, isn't she, Alex? Really proud of herself.
What?
I'm Chase Masterson. I'm super talented. I'm beautiful. I'm saving the world. Enough already, Chase.
Honestly, it's this kind of thing that with the joys of... I mean, one day you'll get a double act of Chase Masterson and Claudia Christian. So basically all connecting on that side. And the world will be a better place as well.
That always makes me nervous. Whenever Claudia Christian gets mentioned, it always makes me nervous. It's the only show we've ever lost of my podcast, Chill Pack Hollywood Hour. It was recorded and almost immediately deemed destroyed the recording because he was getting ready to go on a trip, and he said, you know, one of the things I need to do is shut down our refrigerator because I'm going to be gone for so long. I wonder if these are the breakers that control the refrigerator. And he threw the breakers, and it turned off everything, and we lost the show that we had just recorded with Claudia. And she was not happy. She was very, very, very not happy about that.
I'm not surprised. But meanwhile, I have pulled up, because Tessa's a special person, the slides that I will be using tomorrow, actually, when I'm talking to some of our postgraduate students in both science journalism and indeed in journalism and contemporary cinema. And two quotes there from Ted Chiang and Albert Einstein. Would you like to share them with the world, please, Tessa?
The future and past have equal
validity
to the present. Ted Chiang, is that right? How you
well,
said it?
To the present. That was Ted present. Chiang, who actually wrote the book on which Arrival was based.
Okay, and then the distinction between past, present and future is nothing but a stubbornly persistent illusion, Albert Einstein.
Or even Albert, to some people. Albert.
Oh, did I say Albert? That's my accent. Albert.
Bless you there.
Albert.
Albert
Einstein.
E equals MC squared. And, of course, probably having a discussion about that very factor now with Stephen Hawking as we speak.
Yeah. Hi, perhaps
guys.
Up there. Yep.
Oh. So we motored on. I have to make another little confession here. We didn't have one earlier in the show because William Coles is having this line. He is doing the pilgrimage in Spain, the Santiago pilgrimage that's actually there. Okay. We don't know what state he's actually in. Oh. I haven't looked at any of his feeds on social media because I thought we'd just wait until he actually returns.
Okay. Yes.
But the line was, I normally can comment on Chilpack Hollywood Hour or indeed some of the other delightful podcasts from the Los Angeles Breakfast Club. Haven't listened to any of them this week, not at all. I haven't even looked at what was actually on the show. Just didn't.
Well, so there we go.
Sorry if that shocked you, Phil, but it's just, you know, sometimes you just have to front it up and actually, so in the words of Lee, one of the early public relations officials who worked with a whole heap of fine folk in developing public relations in America, including Edward Bernays, tell the truth. Yeah. Let's painful at the end.
I love his. I love his sauce. Can I share my personal Albert Einstein connection that's ongoing right now, Alex?
I think we need you to share that personal Albert Einstein connection that's ongoing now, Phil.
So you may have heard, even though you've been blithely ignoring all my podcasts, you may have noticed that I got engaged to Lily Holloman.
Yes.
And about a year from now, our plan is to get married in a classic movie picture palace that was built and designed and built by Charlie Chaplin specifically to be the venue where he premiered City Lights. And at that world premiere, that opening night of this theater, he sat side by side with Albert Einstein.
Wow. Who would have known?
Yeah.
You always have such a good story to tell.
Yes,
he does, doesn't he?
It's narrative. We are creatures of narrative, and that's part of the whole vital aspect of the whole thing. I have a kind of thought.
And I like to think about, again, since there is no past, present, future, it's all taking place simultaneously, the thrill that Einstein must have had to know that he was sitting in the theater where Lily Holloman was getting married.
Precisely.
That
exactly.
is a big deal. Yeah, that's a big deal.
Exactly. Yeah. Nicely put. And well addressed.
Yes.
It's critical stuff there. So if you're actually tuning into Siren Radio now, you're thinking they're getting frightfully philosophical at this particular time of the evening. Well, that's because we are. And it's part and parcel of the whole rich tapestry that we've actually got. Kieran Moore, we thank for
it's because we drink.
You speak for yourself, sir. I simply have water.
Oh, okay. I drink deeply of life, of the well of life. I mean, that's what
Steady
I mean.
Steady on, because clearly at that particular aspect, I was so close to pressing the button, which actually had David Soul singing "I Drink."
Oh.
But, you know, in deference to Phil's concern about David Soulberg getting airplay at the same time, I figured, no, just step away from that. Just, I mean, how often I'm so keen to actually...
Back away from the button, Alex. Yeah. Back away from the button.
I mean, so keen to say, don't give up on us, baby. Silver Lady, here I am, a million miles from home. Indiana wind and rain cuts through me. Can't.
I love that song.
You and me to both, Tessa, but tragically, it's not going to feature in a Phil Leonard slot.
No. It's fine. I do like that one.
For very good reasons, but, you know, that's a different story for another time. Thanks to Arthur Weingarten, who, as ever, was very pertinent in his observations about life and, indeed, how Barney could actually compose a whole symphony.
Oh, Arthur's lovely.
On his mobile phone. Has your mother? Has your wife finished reading? The whole, it's gender realignment.
No,
let's
she
just change
hasn't.
The whole thing.
She's still got it by her bed as we speak. She got halfway through and then life got in the way. Okay. But we will get it back to you. You've heard it on the radio.
Kira Osborne was on phone from Derbyshire. Even McDonald, we don't know, really. We just left a message on our voicemail. Face, you vanished.
She's gone.
Louis Savvy, we've already saluted. So that's all good stuff, then.
And Phil.
Exactly.
We're talking to him now.
Have you got anything else you'd like Phil to share with us in the remaining moments of the production?
How's good old Fuzz doing? How is she doing, Fuzz Aldrin?
Oh, Fuzz is amazing. Fuzz is so strong and has regained, I think, most of her weight. And it's incredible. It's incredible. And it is so touching how much her medical team love hearing from us and love hearing about her, because I get the sense that these people who dedicate their lives to the emergency care for animals, they save many animals, but most of the animals that they are with for a long time, it is because they are supervising the slow descent, let's say, of those animals and trying to ease them. And so I think it's very rare for them to spend the amount of time they did with Fuzz and that it's a happy ending. So it's very touching that, Fuzz gets a lot of love. Team Fuzz continues to grow around the globe.
No, definitely, especially as you keep posting on Instagram and everything. Everybody loves that, so we get updates.
Yeah. It's truly amazing. And so, it's time, Tessa, for you to put those final two questions to Phil, bearing in mind the caveats that it looks as though you yourself will be based in Glinton, just outside Peterborough, for the next 2 weeks.
I will be, yes. So.
Astounding.
I know.
However, we will hopefully cope next week with the return of Darren Scales and possibly a newbie to Retreat Drive, exactly.
Okay.
Assuming she can get out of Peterborough.
I'll just have to tune in.
Because she's in Peterborough at present.
Oh, really? So we're doing a switch?
That's the idea.
we're doing a switch.
I think it's a case of you. Peterborough likes to have zero-sum game when it comes to population. One person leaves Peterborough.
The other one has to come.
Other person has to come back in. So that's the way.
What are you doing that you can't Skype in?
I could Skype in, but it depends if Skype is free, is it free?
Oh, Skype's always free for you, Tessa.
Or
dial in the system. Let's just coordinate our whole Skype thing.
Okay, I'll have to get my Skype sorted because I have a Mac, you see, so I've only got FaceTime at the moment. But I can sort it out. I can get Skype.
Well, that's a challenge.
It is.
Three challenges, actually. Louis Savvy, I think, has given up on Tessa doing the 48-hour film challenge. So clearly your challenge for the Sci-Fi Film Festival is get your pet dog into
Ralphie.
Ralphie.
Oh, Fuzz. Fuzz would be amazing for that as well.
Fuzz
but she's
not,
a cat.
Fuzz, yeah,
so.
And the cat being
there was
having
a cat,
the superpower of changing it. It's not going to work. Besides...
Fuzz is only interested in feature films also. Fuzz, I actually am starting to plan a road picture feature film that Fuzz would be one of the stars of. So,
there we go.
Yeah.
It's like
Fuzz traveling the old Route 66.
Take that, Walt Disney, and your tale of dogs and cats crossing the Appalachian Mountains.
There's a new movie.
Precisely. So, last two questions, please, Tessa.
Phil, have you enjoyed your telephonic link with us this evening?
Oh, it was great.
And will you be joining us again on the show next week, did we say?
We did, actually.
If you're not going to be a part of it, why do you care?
Oh, because I do. You've still got to keep the show running when I'm not here. Of course
That's true. I might just have to Skype in early if I think things are going sideways without you.
Okay. Okay, then.
Him and I, G-Eazy, featuring Halsey, taking us up to the news. That's it for this edition of the Midweek Drive on Wednesday, March the 21st, 2018. We're back tomorrow. Lots of great stuff happening as far as Siren Radio is concerned, obviously. Thanks as well to Greg Stevenson and Chloe Middleton from Solenity. Thanks to the wonderful Barney Packer. That's it. Thank you, dear listener, for being part of the whole sort of sequence that's actually there. What should we say to wrap up with?
Oh, goodness. Now, we need to practice this, don't we, remember?
Clearly have had some. Phil, what's our motivation for this, the sort of hail and farewell sort of aspect? What should we be saying?
How about Vaya con Dios?
Nice, like that. Go with God. Vaya con Dios. After three. One, two, three.
Vaya con Dios.
Vaya con Dios. She gon' ride for me until this thing over. We do together, some claps together, and we both go crazy. If we was to sever, you know, we keep mobbing, it's just me and my... The world, we just gonna keep getting rich, you know. Cross my heart.